More tech news. Over the weekend, AT&T announced its plans to acquire DirecTV, just the latest company to try to expand its telecommunication business. Todd Bishop of GeekWire has been watching this merger. There's more on the implications. Todd, good to see you again, sir.
Great to see you, Steve.
What does this merger mean?
Well, it means more and more consolidation in the industry. This follows Comcast's agreement to buy Time Warner Cable, which has sparked all sorts of talks and meetings in hotel lobbies among folks in the telecom industry. The big question now is what impact this will have on T-Mobile and Sprint. There have been rumors and reports and really acknowledgments by the companies over the past few months that both T-Mobile and Sprint could merge, essentially combining the number three and number four wireless carriers. And the speculation today is that with this AT&T and DirecTV merger, it could make regulators look more favorably on T-Mobile and Sprint merging to essentially improve the competition.
I see. So we get AT&T, we get T-Mobile, we get Comcast. Three big folks doing what to our telecommunications market?
Lots of bundles. So what happens essentially with the AT&T and DirecTV combination, if it goes through and is approved by shareholders and regulators, is that AT&T, when you walk into a store, will be able to offer you everything from cell phone service to digital TV service with DirecTV. So it's one big bundle, potentially a lower price if you decide to go all in with the full meal deal with this folks, but with these folks. But you know how this works always. You end up getting enticed into higher and higher bills.
That's interesting. So we have T-Mobile and Sprint. We have AT&T, we have Comcast. What's Verizon going to be doing in all this?
Well, you know, they're still the leading wireless carrier in the U.S., and, you know, they also have been getting into all sorts of different areas, you know, video and telecommunications as well. So obviously they are going to try and maintain that leadership position.
Yeah, and it plays right into the conversation we were just having
right.
About what's a common carrier and how should the industry be regulated. Here's an example of one direction it's heading.
Absolutely. I think as people have those discussions about net neutrality that are happening right now at the FCC, they're going to have to take into account some of this mergers and acquisition landscape and figure out how that's going to impact it.
Todd Bishop is co-founder of GeekWire, joins us with the latest tech news. Amazon is debuting a new children's show, the second show Amazon has produced. The first was a series for adults called Alpha House. Let's listen to a clip from Amazon's new kids show, Tumbleleaf. In this scene, a blue animated fox named Fig and his purple friend Maple, they're throwing coins into a well to make wishes.
Look, Maple, those coins are as bright as the sun. Oh, I get it. That's because they're reflecting the sunlight. That's what's making the lights on the wall.
Oh, well, I still hope all our wishes come true.
Me too, because we're out of coins. We'd better head back home.
But Fig, I still have one last coin.
You can save it for another day. Come on, let's start walking.
You conducted an unofficial, uncommissioned scientific study this weekend?
Yes, I spent 2.5 hours with Fig and his friends with an advanced screener of Tumbleleaf with my 3-year-old daughter and my 74-year-old retired schoolteacher mother. My daughter loved it. My mother was very skeptical of its educational value. I thought it was a very good show. You know, as you mentioned, this is a follow-up to Alpha House, or I should say it's Amazon.
Yeah. Not by a follow-up. The way, I would like it to be a follow-up to Alpha House.
Exactly. Amazon had a moderate success with Alpha House, the political dramedy starring John Goodman. And now this is their attempt to go into children's programming. I think they've done a good job here. It's a little bit over the head of preschoolers, I think. But my daughter, as I said, she loved it.
We got Netflix, we got Hulu, now we have Amazon. First of all, is this an investment for Amazon? Is it worth it?
Absolutely. Whether or not it's worth it, I think is a big question. They need to differentiate Prime Instant Video, and the problem is that acquiring the rights to existing series out there, if they're any good, is very expensive, and they're in a content war with Netflix and Hulu and all the others when they try to do that. So, as with many things, Amazon, like many other tech companies, is saying, hey, let's go out and just produce our own content. Amazon is doing this with books as well, with their own publishing imprints.
I mean, it just, again, it takes us right back to this question of how the industry is shaking out with all these different players. Vertical, where the horizontal is going to come in, who's going to feed in the content to all these different chains.
Yeah, it sounds like an MBA class over there.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, we're seeing everybody essentially become everything in a lot of ways here. Companies getting into areas that normally would have been outside of their purview, and Amazon doing children's programming. Can you imagine that? You know, Jeff Bezos back in that home in the mid-90s in Bellevue starting to ship out books to people that eventually they would be producing their own children's shows, you know, PBS-style shows. It's a brave new world.
Yeah, whether it's going to encourage more production, which is the sort of the idea, and more people getting in as creators. I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting time for that because it does feel that way in some ways.
Yeah, and Amazon has tried to some extent to democratize this with a process of bringing in people to pitch their scripts, to offer their services as directors and videographers in kind of a crowdsourced model. Now, I don't believe these programs or these shows themselves have come out of that model, but that is one way that Amazon is trying to populate the content pipeline.
All right. So now here's another one. Here's Microsoft.
Yeah.
Halo 5 is being released fall of 2015. Steven Spielberg is producing a Halo-themed TV series, which is due, do you know when that's
right around the same time.
So, first of all, what are gamers going to expect from Halo 5?
Microsoft so far is being very circumspect about what Halo 5 is going to be, but it will be built from the ground up on the Xbox One, which means for people who are still using the Xbox 360, you're out of luck.
That's like me.
That's right, and me too, actually. We have an Xbox One at the office, but I still have an Xbox 360 at home. So this is going to be Microsoft's bid to get people to upgrade to the Xbox One if they haven't already.
Because we've fallen behind. And what does this, again, say for where Microsoft is taking its entertainment division?
Yeah, this, to a large extent, speaks to the role that the Xbox continues to play inside the company. There have been a lot of people pushing for Microsoft to spin off the Xbox division. I think it's highly unlikely to happen, and this is one reason why. This is where Microsoft really gets its foot in the door in the living room. A lot of people look at the Xbox as a game console, but it's more than that. It's a media server. It's essentially a computer underneath your television set, and that is why Microsoft wants to be there.
Right, and they have struggled to be there, and they made sure they're there. Where is Apple TV and all that?
Exactly.
Todd Bishop is co-founder of GeekWire, joining us to discuss the Northwest and National Tech News. Thanks again, Todd.
My pleasure, Steve.
With Ross Reynolds, I'm Steve Scherr. You're tuned to The Record.